DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Sister Mary Ann Fatula, who has served as a professor of theology at Ohio Dominican University in Columbus, Ohio, and for more than 30 years taught theology there. Sister Mary Ann is the author of Catherine of Siena's Way, Holy Spirit, Unbounded Gift of Joy, and Thomas Aquinas, Preacher and Friend. With Sister Mary Ann Fatula, we go inside the pages of Heaven's Splendor and the Riches That Await You There, published by Sophia Institute Press. Sister Mary Ann, thank you so much for joining me.
It's a great joy for me to speak with you, Chris. Thank you.
I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed Heaven's Splendor and the riches that await you there. Aww. I loved every part of this book, especially the way you entered into it. Thank you so much.
You're so kind.
Well, actually, I'm not. Ask people around me. But I want to convey to you how much I love this, because you have given us literally a glimpse of heaven, but in a way that isn't, how can I explain this? You know, other books you hear, people have a lot of questions, and so it's very answer-driven.
Yes.
But you've given us something more. You've given us a glimpse of what the church reveals to us about heaven.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you, dear.
And I have to say, I so appreciate you're the good daughter of St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yes, I love, in fact, honestly, after the Blessed Trinity and our Blessed Mother, I the first saint I really want to meet is our beloved Thomas. I do love him so dearly.
I don't think I've read a work from an author that brings forth the St. Thomas Aquinas vision of things quite as lovely. I'm so accessible than what you've given us.
His soul is very sweet. And it grieves my heart to see how often he's presented as this cold intellectual. And he was so in love with the Blessed Trinity and, of course, with the Lord and the Eucharist. But his soul is very, very tender.
Tell us about what brought you to bring this work forward.
Yes, well, you know, I've been teaching for many, many years, and in those years of teaching the university students, I would use many church fathers and doctors of the church in my teaching, and every single time we spoke of the Blessed Trinity or about heaven, the students responded so magnificently, and I myself have always longed to have something I could read to help me anticipate heaven more. And so I just asked the Holy Spirit to help me and anoint me to write a little book that would use the saints and that would be of help to other people so that we wouldn't fear death, but really have a joy in anticipating heaven. And really the saints, and I've used almost all doctors of the church so we can trust their teaching, they are so comforting, especially if we are grieving the death of a loved one, or if we are afraid of our own death, or maybe even if we have troubles, because their vision of heaven is so anointed by the Holy Spirit and so drawn from Scripture. And for us to realize from their writings, this is everything we've been made for, the Blessed Trinity, who are so deeply everything we have been created for, every joy, but also that we will be brought into their intimate love for one another. This is so amazing. But also that heaven, really, we can taste heaven now. And St. Thomas is so crucial on this, especially in what he writes about the Eucharist. In other words, we don't have to wait for those joys. And of course, the communion of saints, how our loved ones are still with us, who have died, but they are with us and we can still draw close to them. But also we can taste the joys of the Trinity, the joys of the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist right now. And those tastes give us really a taste right now of heaven in our souls.
Amen.
Amen.
You had me when the book, when I opened it, you had me at delighting in the Trinity.
Oh,
you did. You had me right there, because what you did with this, trying to help the Christian in particular, but also the world, anyone else who picks up this and wants to try to enter into the greatest of mysteries, that we have to begin to comprehend. I don't know if you can ever do it, but you have to begin to comprehend the enormous nature of the Trinity. That's who we are, Christian. Yeah. And we don't, do we, sister? I mean, maybe that's why your students get so excited.
And you know, Chris, truthfully, I found so often when I was teaching that, it's so easy for us to simply say God. And I would say to them, please now, in this class and hopefully in your lives, name each person, say, my Father, I love you. I want to be close to you. Dear blessed Jesus, sweet Jesus, hold me close to your heart. Dear Holy Spirit, anoint me, fill me, give me your joy. Address our regular conversation throughout the day to the three blessed Trinity, the persons of the blessed Trinity who are dwelling within us and who really, this thought has so struck me. They love us so much, the divine persons of the Trinity, that they have made their soul, our soul, their heaven. In other words, just as they are our heaven. And so many times during the day I say, sweet blessed Trinity, make my soul more and more your heaven, that you are at home dwelling there. We're always sweet and good because you are there. And it's so consoling. And any problems, my students would find this, and any person can find this, regardless of what we are going through in our lives, there is a sweetness that we bear in our soul. God, the Blessed Trinity, three divine persons who are the family of love, are dwelling within us, and they want us to turn to them in every moment of the day if we can. So this is just very, very consoling. So I was inspired so we hear so little about the Trinity except as some kind of a math problem. And I really, really wanted to draw the readers to see the Blessed Trinity are the three divine persons who love us and who dwell within us. And our joy in heaven, this is really unbelievable. It will be to be taken into their own intimate, self-giving love to each other. This is indescribable and unimaginable joy.
Will you begin to give us a glimpse? We're talking to Sister Marianne Fatula, who has given us heaven's splendor and the riches that await you there. Sister, I think that's the thing that maybe we haven't been catechized effectively enough to even realize. That's what happens at baptism. We are already brought into that.
Exactly. Amen, Chris. Exactly.
Why is that, do you suppose? I mean, we bring parents in to prepare them for baptism classes. We have RCIAs that are supposed to help, again, catechize. Yeah. And yet somehow, that the most important of all things, people just, I didn't know that. I don't understand it.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And honestly, again, it also grieves my heart to speak to so many who have been brought into the church by very, very good RCIA problems, but they were not taught to about the Trinity dwelling within them, and the Trinity who would give themselves, the Blessed Trinity, each person giving himself completely to the person who's baptized at the baptism. But see, in order to talk about the Trinity in this most intimate way, rather than as a math problem, those of us who teach and who speak about the Trinity have to pray. We have to be into an intimate relationship with each person of the Trinity. Otherwise, we speak of the Trinity as a math problem, or don't mention the Trinity at all.
Oh, now, sister, you're kind of going outside the Dominicans here. You're sounding like St. Anselm of Canterbury, that faith-seeking understanding, that Christian intuition.
Or no, just that. Oh no, because the reason I love Thomas so dearly is that he really captures all of who we are. Our mind was created to adore the Trinity. Our will was created to love the Trinity. But as he says, we can love only what we know. and know intimately. And he says, when we love, then we know more intimately, and the more intimately we know, the more we want to love. So, but we who speak about the Blessed Trinity need to really ourselves spend that time intimately coming into friendship and deep love of the Blessed Trinity ourselves through prayer. And our life is so busy, it's very easy to let this go, but it's so crucial.
Well, Sister, in heaven's splendor, I have to say, you are. I mean, I'm going to constantly say you're such a great Dominican, because in those footnotes alone, I found myself, after I read a chapter or I hit a certain line, I looked at the footnote and I went, oh my gosh, let me go see where that's at. And all of a sudden I open up Aquinas' commentary on the Gospel of John. I'm going, oh yeah. And then I ended up reading more. You know, I mean, this is why this book is so, it's splendid. I mean, the heaven's splendor is just the epitome of what it is to delight.
Oh, and you know, I have to say that I myself cannot stand it when I'm reading something and an author says, St. Therese says this, and I want to say, well, where? You know, give me. And the reason I chose as many, many internet sources of the works I was using as possible was precisely to make available to the reader, yes, I want to go look that up myself and read the original sources. And this is what I prayed all people would be inspired to do, because you can't do better than actually reading the saints.
Again, we're talking with Sister Mary Ann Fatula about her book, Heaven's Splendor and the Riches That Await You There.
Amen.
And okay, amen. And what has to happen first, okay, we've established once you have an appreciation, the gift of our relationship with the Holy Trinity, then you can begin to explore, as Thomas did and as you do, the incredible nature of heaven, and that where the Father is, that's where the saints are.
Yeah.
Now, if he's in us, the Trinity dwells within us, mm-hmm. those saints are closer than we think.
Absolutely, Chris. And this is why the whole reality of the communion of saints is flowing from the communion of the divine persons with one another. They give us also one another in their love. And so this communion that death cannot destroy but only deepen, this communion in the Blessed Trinity unites us to those here on earth, but also to those in heaven, the saints, and also to our loved ones who have died. We're not talking about communing with ghosts. No, these are truly our loved ones who have died, and they are still with us. And we are surrounded by persons who love us, the saints, our loved ones. We are surrounded by persons who love us. This is why I always said to my students, no one ever dies alone, even if he or she seems to, because certainly the Blessed Trinity are there and the saints and angels, but also our loved ones who have died certainly, most certainly will come to be there and bring us home. I've heard so, so many accounts of people who have been with a loved one who is dying and who has seen that loved one like look up and say, oh, you know, where did Aunt so-and-so go? My own mom, whom I cared for, had the great privilege to care for 4 years and to be present at her death. Another younger brother of mine who had died suddenly, she would say, where did Jimmy go? Well, Jimmy had been dead 2 years. I knew he was there with her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this is we are not alone. The Trinity dwell within us, and all the saints and angels, we are continually surrounded by those who love us.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. a teaching of St. Paul from his second letter to the Corinthians. We are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Inside the Pages. I'll probably say it 100 times in the course of this conversation, so please forgive me. But if you have that grace, that awareness, the Trinity dwells within us by faith, you know, not only does Thomas tell it, but even St. Paul, I mean, and Jesus in John's chapters 14 through 17, they're just the great tale of that. But once we have awareness of that, then it fosters hope.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And you know, Chris, I've had more than several people who have read the little book on heaven say to me, you know, I there's a whole difference in my attitude toward life. Things don't seem that were bothering me a lot, don't seem as important now, because everything is in a perspective of a joy that's awaiting me and that's already within me. And so reading these saints is absolutely, I do believe, it certainly has been life-changing for me in a very gentle, you know, kind of secret way. But it does change our attitude. I find it fills us with joy, fills us with peace, and as you said, hope, when even in the difficult times. It's not that of course we become sad and we grieve and we're troubled, but in all of that, deeper than all of that, there, heaven is within us and heaven is all around us, even now.
I also love that you bring us St. Catherine of Siena, the great Catherine. Okay. I think she should be Catherine the Great myself, but okay, the great Catherine. But you also bring us the little Therese. She is all throughout this, but the little Carmelite is throughout this entire book as well.
I have to say, I love Catherine so dearly, and especially all that she says about the mercy of the Blessed Trinity. If at the moment of our death and for anyone dying, no one is hopeless. You know, let us beg for that mercy in the precious blood of Jesus. So comforting. But I have fallen in love with Therese because she is so human. I absolutely love her words to her sisters, and we'll be in heaven together and we'll have all the family gatherings together. And she really is responsible for me, realizing that we're going to be together as healed families. And even if there are wounds in our families or deprivations or disagreements, we will be together as the beautiful families that the Blessed Trinity created to be. And I love how Therese focuses on, and the saints love us and they have compassion. Don't be afraid that the saints are ashamed of you if you are a sinner. You commit. They know their own weakness. She's just so human, so encouraging, and really brings great joy to my soul to read her.
And these are not, I'm going to bring up the term Pollyanna, you know, these are not Pollyannas.
No.
These are doctors of the church. They have the charism and wisdom. You can believe and trust what they say.
And you know, Chris, I purposely chose the saints who are doctors of the church because their teaching is approved by the church. I mean, there are many, many saints who have writings, but they might not be so much on target. But we can trust what these saints are saying as doctors of the church.
The saints that you mentioned that are not necessarily doctors of the church, but have given us a very pious attention of heart, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and a holy imagination.
Exactly.
And so those are to be appreciated. But again, what the doctors of the church have given us, and in this particular teachings, these are so rock solid and so true. And that it's firm foundation for us, isn't it, sister?
And you know, again, and what strikes me is that that was a very lovely phrase you used, pious imagination, holy imagination. And but what these saints who are doctors of the church, they draw from scripture. Mm-hmm. So I love, for example, that when Therese says, she asks the question, you know, will we be close in heaven to people we love? And she goes to the scriptures, and she goes to John, and she takes the words of the Lord Jesus and she makes them her own. And when the Lord says, and where I am, you also will be. Mm-hmm. So everything is really founded ultimately in scripture and in what these doctors of the church teach. But it's so sweet and tender because their prayer life, their intimacy with the Blessed Trinity makes those scripture, the depths of those scripture passages really not only come alive, but give joy to our souls.
We're talking with Sister Marianne Fatula about her book. Okay, write it down, everyone. Heaven's Splendor and the Riches That Await You There. Get this. You'll want this. It is just absolutely, I want to use the term, joy. Because in the section, the joy of our resurrection, let's focus on that. Okay, everybody, that's the goal. That's the landing point, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And you know, Chris, this I drew most of that chapter from St. Thomas Aquinas because he has the most to say. And again, what joy to know that we will not be disembodied people in heaven. We, our risen bodies, we will be united to our bodies, completely transformed. And I love this thought that where he speaks about, you know, each body of each person shining with different light, and how we will in all the different gifts of the transformed and glorified body, that wherever we think we want to be, we will be. It's just. And this was very, very consoling to me as my own dad was dying. He loved to be on the get up and go. And just right before he died, he said, I want to get up. And I said, Dad, I said, in heaven you will, and you're going to have your body, and you're going to be able to run again. And he said, I will. Yes, we will. And people whom we grieve now, they may be so wounded in their bodies and they can't even move, paralyzed. Oh, what joy to be united to our body, our very own bodies again, but completely transformed, and to be filled with this freedom and joy and light, which is the love of the Blessed Trinity. This is so comforting and gives us such great, gives me joy in anticipating this.
Do you think, sister, part of our discussions about heaven, for some, it's difficult for them to, how am I going to say this? Well, to desire to even go there, because their idea is that you're all walking around in white and it's all cloudy. And what do? Stand around and look at each other.
Oh, no. No. Heaven is endless discovery. And again, I love saying, and again, he draws this all from scripture. Every single insight that he has about, you know, our agility and the beauty of our bodies, and as well as no suffering. We will be, as scripture itself says, we will run and not go tired. And we will for all eternity, first of all, be delighting in the infinite joys and treasures at the very heart of the Blessed Trinity. But in them, then, all the splendors of the universe. We will never ever grow tired. We will never ever be sitting around twiddling our thumbs, wondering what am I going to do next.
Just wait. No eye has seen or ear has heard
Amen.
How great it's going to be.
Amen.
Into part of this of when we contemplate the last things, and probably the scariest thing for most people is the process of dying. It is that time of death.
Yes.
We have to be real about that too, don't we?
And I did try to do that in that little chapter 4 on death, because no, I don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer. And so every day, my mom and dad both were blessed with the most sweet, exquisitely tender and peaceful deaths. And I'm begging the Blessed Trinity for that kind of death. And I say simultaneously, please don't let me suffer. I'm a baby. Mm-hmm. We have a right. The Blessed Trinity invite us to pray that way. I say, Blessed Trinity, let your will be done. But it's the suffering part that we don't want to do, because the dying, there's a phrase used in the Byzantine Rite, of which I am a member, it's from scripture, he fell asleep in the Lord. And that's exactly what it will be like at those last moments. Now, it's true, some of, as I pointed out in that chapter, but St. John Paul II is so beautiful in his meditations on the mystery of suffering. Let us pray not to suffer, and let us do everything in our power to alleviate our suffering and those who are dear to us and who are dying. But if there is suffering we cannot alleviate, then let us trust that there is immense, tremendous purpose. This is bringing the Trinity's love into the world, and how great will be our joy in heaven. We will never get to heaven and say, dear Blessed Trinity, you did everything right, but I wish you hadn't let me suffer so much. We will say, no, everything I needed to be this. I needed to be in this situation. You knew, I didn't. So I don't think we need to fear suffering. Let's pray that we don't have to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And the church encourages us to use palliative medicine. The church wants us to be as peaceful in our souls as possible, and therefore to be as pain-free in our bodies as possible. So let us not fear that. We are in the hands of the Blessed Trinity, and let's just beg for their mercy and trust them, and know that I really, really trust this with all of my soul. All will be well.
That's a part of the agony, I think, sometimes too, sister, is not even so much the bodily suffering that we may have, but I'm thinking, you know, those who may have children or who have the care of loved ones who say, I can't be taken now. I'm too afraid. Don't take me now. What about my children? Those types of fears can be even more debilitating.
But see, here's the bottom line. This goes back to the Blessed Trinity dwelling in our souls. Every single person we love is a gift of the Father to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person we love is not, first of all, ours. So let us entrust the people we love and are worried about to the care, the providential care of the Father. His divine providence is so merciful. These people we love are not finally our responsibility. They are the Father's. Let us entrust them to his hands.
Well, Sister Marianne, I have to tell you, at the very beginning of the book, you had me there. You had me captivated throughout the rest of the book. And then I got to a certain section towards the end where, when I got to the Eucharist, foretaste of heaven, I looked at my husband and I went, yes, finally, because what is it today that it is so sad and it breaks my heart that I don't want to be so judgmental, but it appears as though many do not have an appreciation of exactly what is happening in this invisible and invisible world that we proclaim in the Creed, what's happening here. And we run off to all kinds of different paraliturgies and other things, and that we think somehow it makes us feel good, or it gives us a rush of joy, or whatever that might be. And we're missing what's happening right here.
Absolutely, Chris. And this truly breaks my heart to see the socializing that goes on before and after Mass. Okay, socialize, but do that outside. Let's come early to enter into the mystery of what's going to happen here. The Lord Jesus is making present his own death and resurrection, his Last Supper. And we will feed on God the Son. And I think it would be so helpful if priests would say, please let there be silence in church before and after Mass. Let us take some time to really savor who it is who is within us. This is a great, we are experiencing great loss. And of course, parishes are now recapturing Eucharistic adoration. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a very great grace that brings people back to what we are meant to be in terms of being really and truly present in our soul when we are present at Mass in our body.
Yeah, there's something so incredibly miraculous that occurs yes. there. I can't help but think of the story of Teresa of Avila, and we hear yes. about how even in a small little chapel with a handful of nuns, she receives the Blessed Sacrament, and her soul is so, there is such an openness in this moment where she is just as lifted. Yes. And it's yes. not because the priest, who at that yes. time, she, if I recall the story right, she didn't even really necessarily
right.
like him very much.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, she didn't really have, it wasn't like, right. ooh, it's Father, what's his name, you know, who's
right,
celebrating
right.
the Mass. Mm-hmm. But it was that encounter with this grace that it lifts yes. her up. And of course, she would yes. later say, please don't do that anymore because it's kind of embarrassing. It can happen even in that small chapel in that small little way. And yet we want to have somehow it has to be the big stadium, the big conference
yes.
that somehow
yes.
is better and more special with, you know, loud music and things.
Yes. Oh, Chris, you're, I could not agree more. And so we need, when we go to Mass, we must pray. It does, I mean, we certainly would like there to be a very prayerful priest, but it is not the priest. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Who is present. Let us just go early to Mass and close our eyes and say, I do this all the time. I say, sweet Jesus, I believe you yourself are making present your death and resurrection. I am at your Last Supper. Draw my heart to you. Let me see only you. This is a prayer that really, I know the Lord wants us to make, that we have eyes to see him and not, you know, how the music and the sermon, which all helps, but that's not really the essence of what is taking place at this beautiful Mass.
If you want to know what heaven is, that's just a foretaste. And it's
Amen.
Really, really wonderful.
Amen.
But Sister, I wish we had more time. I really do. But I hope you know, I love, love, love this book. Any final thoughts?
Yes, just that we, that... I mean, if each of us could start to just right now at this moment in whatever, you know, situation we're in, just turn to the Blessed Trinity within us and say, my Father, hold me close. I want to know you and love you. Dear Jesus, I want to know and love you. Sweet Holy Spirit, hold me, let me love you. And ask for the grace that at Mass we may be there truly and see the Lord Jesus. To pray for this grace. This is a grace that will be granted if we ask for it. And then we will know heaven within us and around us all the time.
I'm running to Mass right now. I want to go do that right now. It's just, I can't wait. I don't want to have to die first. I want to go right now.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Marian, God bless you and thank you so much.
It was such a tremendous joy to me to speak with you, Chris. Thank you with all of my heart and God bless you.
With Sister Marian Fatula, we've gone inside the pages of Heaven's Splendor and the riches that await you there. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to sophiainstitute.com, the website for its publisher, Sophia Institute Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with thousands of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.